I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, St. Louis. It's the Hancock and Kelly Show. And good morning to you, John Hancock.
Top of the morning. And right off the top of the morning, we are joined by CBS correspondent Stacey Lynn to talk about. Well, there's a lot to talk about going on in Washington, D.C. Welcome aboard, Stacey. Let's start with the Qatari jet. What do we know about this thing?
Yeah, we understand that the United States officially accepted this luxury jetliner from Qatar on Wednesday. The Pentagon says the Air Force now has the job to basically give it a giant makeover, upgrading it to be used as a new plane for the president. Right now, it's just sitting on a tarmac at an airport in San Antonio, waiting for that overhaul so it can become the new Air Force One. This will take time, though. It doesn't happen overnight. It basically needs to be built into being like a mobile White House equipped with high-tech communications and defense systems as well. It's worth hundreds of millions of dollars. President Trump said it would be stupid for him to turn it down. But of course, as we've been hearing, it's getting a lot of scrutiny. Lawmakers on the Democratic side, even independent watchdogs are saying that this gift is a violation of the law and the Constitution. There's a statute which bans government officials from taking gifts from foreign countries. Now, the president says it would be a gift to the Department of Defense and not like a gift for him, and that he would not be using it after leaving office, but it would be kept at his presidential library. So there's a lot of back and forth going on here on the legality of this and the violation that it may cause.
Stacey, aren't there new Air Force Ones already in production?
Yeah, there's two new Boeing 747s that they've been working on for years. They're getting specially customized right now to be the next Air Force One. But because it's been in the works for years, it's been delayed and delayed and delayed again. President Trump is getting a little bit antsy on that. They were supposed to be ready, I believe, last year. But now they're saying they're not expected for several more years. So he is ready for a new one. And he says, hey, this is a gift that I cannot decline.
Yeah, and, you know, obviously you would think the emoluments clause of the Constitution might come into play. Has there been any litigation filed yet to try and undo this?
Not sure if there's actual litigation filed yet, but there has been a ton of talk about doing so because, you know, if you read the Constitution directly, it definitely is a violation of law. They're not allowed to take gifts from foreign countries. President trying to kind of skirt around that issue, saying that it's not for me. It's for the Department of Defense, and it'll be situated at my library afterwards. So that's the way he's trying to get around it.
Well, it's never dull, is it, in Washington, D.C.? Speaking of never dull, the House did pass the other day the reconciliation bill by one vote. It now goes to the Senate, and it seems to me like there are potential obstacles by people who are deficit hawks who see the increase in the annual deficit. And then you also have people in the Republican Party, our own Senator Josh Hawley, who is squeamish about the Medicaid cuts. And those are two completely different concerns. Can this thing pass the Senate?
Two completely different and very big concerns. And I think that is the big question. The way that the bill is written right now that the House just passed the other day, there is no way that it's just going to go straight through the Senate. There is going to be a lot of modifications and modifications and modifications. And if changes are made in the Senate, then the bill goes back to the House. It has to be re-voted on again before it can be signed into law. So I do not see this going the way House Speaker Mike Johnson is hoping. He's pushing that the Senate not modify a lot on the bill at all. And he's kind of urging for it to get pushed through by July 4th and to the president's desk. That is very, very wishful thinking on his part.
That's Stacey Lynn, kind enough to join us here on KMOX from CBS News. Have a great weekend, Stacey.
John, you as well. Thank you.
And John, what's amazing to me is I'm watching the arguments that are coming from Republicans against this bill.
Right.
Agreeing with a Rand Paul, for instance. Mm-hmm. Listening to Josh Hawley really take up a very left of center position from my perspective.
He's a really fascinating political figure right now.
Exactly. But I don't see how this gets reconciled, because you have two giant forces pulling in opposite directions.
Right.
I think the way this gets resolved, Donald Trump's going to do to the senators exactly what he did to the House. He's going to show up and he's going to say, I need this passed. He's not a details guy. He doesn't care what's in it. They're going to have to live with the consequences. I actually think he will get something done by 4th of July.
Well, I don't know by 4th of July, but I do think this is the only consequential piece of legislation that is likely to pass this year and next year combined. And then you got the midterm elections, which, if history is a forecaster at all, the midterm elections are going to be a disaster for Republicans. And so they're going to lose control of the House and possibly the Senate as well. And then you've got nothing. You've got gridlock. So if there's any meaningful piece of legislation that's going to pass while you've got a Republican president, a Republican House, and a Republican Senate, this is the bill.
And aren't they too far down the road with Donald Trump to say, we're going to use this is the obstacle to say, finally, we're going to push back? I mean, this is his big, beautiful thing that he has to deliver
right
on. Because like you said, he's about to be a lame duck. He ain't going to be able to deliver on much after that.
You know, I'm not bashful about making predictions. I'm often wrong. but the way I think this is going to play out, you're going to get the tax cuts. You're going to get all the defense spending stuff that's in there. And the Medicaid cuts are going to disappear. And it's going to further drive the deficit. That's how I think it's going to play out. I think they're going to, you know, because the Medicaid cuts, the way that's designed is you're just whopping out a whole bunch of money that the federal government gives to the states to pay the Medicaid benefit. So the federal government's not cutting anybody off of Medicaid, but the states will have no option because they, you know, most of the states in this country have a balanced budget requirement. And if the federal government's not forking over the dough, people are going to get cut off of Medicaid.
Read a statistic that one in two people that are in assisted living in this country are on Medicaid.
Oh, sure.
Think about that. These are our parents. These
right
are our grandmas and grandpas. Hey, what's new? We're also dealing with what's old. And guess what's back, John? Tariffs. We've started again. We woke up to this morning. Back to Donald Trump saying, here come more tariffs, more uncertainty, and the market's already reacting.
Well, the stock market futures just went in the toilet after he made that announcement on social media last night, that 50% tariffs on the EU. And, you know, this whole uncertainty that's been generated, and you look at the stock market goes up, and it comes way down, and it goes way back up because he moves back on the tariffs, and you know, we're just going to have to live this life.
Yeah, he is John Hancock. I'm Michael Kelly. This is the Total Information AM takeover of Hancock and Kelly.
Yes, and the Greek Festival is this weekend at Assumption Greek Orthodox Church. We're going to visit with Greg Simos after this right here on the Voice of St. Louis News Radio, 104.1 FM, KMOX.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Total Information AM. John Hancock alongside Michael Kelly. This weekend is the annual Memorial Day Greek Fest at Assumption Greek Orthodox Church. Joining us to visit about it, one of the organizers, Greg Simos. Greg Tikanis.
Kala, thanks for having me.
You bet. I am married to a 100% Greek American, and nothing gives me more joy than the Greek Fest every year there at Assumption Church. You got a lot of things going on. You're going to have the Spanakopita, you're going to have Patsitso, you're going to have Moussaka, right?
We don't have Moussaka.
Okay.
But we do have, we have Pasticho, we have Spanakopita, we have Dolmades, which are grape leaves.
Yes.
We have our souvlaki, lamb shanks, chicken, and then, of course, gyros.
Oh, the gyros. They're the best.
These sound absolutely delicious. Then you've got all the desserts as well, right? What do you call the desserts?
Well, you got katayif.
We have our We have our baklava. Everyone knows baklava. We have gataifi, which is a shredded kind of baklava.
Love that.
We have our galak de budico, which is custard filled.
Yes.
Kurabiedes, powdered sugar cookies, and finikia, which are dipped all in syrup. We got whatever you need.
Greg, give us the details. Now that you've got our mouth watering, where can we go? How can we? Do we have to eat there? Can we take it with us? Tell us everything.
Yeah, so we are an in-person event. You can take it with you, but we don't have any advanced ordering or curbside. But we are in person, 11 to 8 today, tomorrow, and Sunday, and 11 to 3 on Monday. Come by. We've got shuttles. We don't have any on-site parking, but we have multiple shuttles that are running every few minutes, and you just follow the signs to the shuttle parking lots. Credit card only, and yeah, we're waiting for you. Call before the storm right now.
And the food is amazing, but there's so much other cultural activity. You're giving tours of the church. You've got the Greek folk dancers. There's just lots to see and do here, right?
Lots to do. We have a live band going. We have the Greek folk dancers that are dancing at different intervals during the day. We have church tours. We've got a little bit of everything. A little bit of Greece on this side of the Atlantic. That's what we say.
How many years do you have do you know how long Assumption's been doing this?
Well, the Assumption as a parish has been around for a little bit over 80 years. And I know at some point in those 80 years, we were selling food. So we've been doing it. We've been at 45 years at this location, but we've been doing it for almost a century.
Yeah, that's remarkable. Now, are there, I know that St. Nick's, when they have their Greek fest in the fall over Labor Day weekend, you could buy like frozen dishes of pastizo to take home. Are you guys doing that kind of thing as well?
We do only if we have leftover on Monday.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
So we do try to, we make enough for the festival, and if there's any leftover, then we do offer that as well. Yeah.
Well, I will be enjoying much of that food that we've been discussing with Greg Simos. It is the Assumption Greek Orthodox Greek Fest Memorial Day weekend kicking off this weekend. Greg, thanks so much for joining us.
No, I appreciate you guys having me. Thank you.
All right.
The Greeks kind of bookend our summer, right? They start with Memorial Day and they end with Labor Day.
That's
with
exactly
the festivals.
Right.
It's delicious food, and it's the two times a year I eat it.
It is. And I'll tell you what, you see, what do you mean the two times a year you eat it?
You don't ever bring any leftovers into me.
Well, you know, Georgian Spanakopita, by the way.
They
do a great job at the Greek Fest.
Right.
Georgian Spanakopita, absolutely rocks is all I can tell you. That's all I can tell you. Might be a good night to cook up turn on that fire pit in the backyard patio and
sit outside.
Enjoy the weather. What a great day.
Pick up some marshmallows, man, if you're going to sit outside.
Hey.
You know, make yourself, what do they call those? Those s'mores? Did you ever do that when you were a kid?
Oh, yeah. We make s'mores.
So you came in here all spun up talking about what? Some TV show that you're all into?
Yeah. Georgianne and I have been watching The Way Home on the Hallmark Channel. It's a great...
You failed to mention the Hallmark Channel part to me.
Why?
Because you were describing the plot of this, and I was getting sucked in, but now you've kind of taken the balloon and deflated it by saying it's on the Hallmark Channel.
What's wrong with the Hallmark Channel?
What did this husband do wrong?
No, that's the Lifetime Channel.
Same. Hallmark,
no,
Lifetime,
same.
It's all,
buddy,
you know.
Buddy. No, the Hallmark Channel, it's wholesome, it's family-friendly. But this particular drama, The Way Home, is about time traveling.
Mm.
And it's a family living in British Columbia. Farmers, they're founders of the town, one of the three families that founded the town there. And the daughter, who had been estranged from her widowed mother, comes home and brings her daughter. And they find out that there's a pond on the property. And when you jump in the pond, you're transported.
Oh, a quantum leap type thing, huh?
Yeah. And so they get transported back to the 1970s. They get transported back to the early 1800s.
Right.
During the time of the British-American War there, the War of 1812. And that's fascinating. It's a great story. So probably watch
any stars I know?
Andy McDowell.
Oh, from the Groundhog Day.
Yeah, yeah. She's the matriarch of the family. And a lot of Canadian actor. Kyler Lee is in there, who used to be on that medical show that was all the rage.
Okay.
Not ER, the other one. Grey's Anatomy. Grey's Anatomy.
Well, that's what you were doing last night because there wasn't baseball. But guess what? Baseball's back this weekend for the holiday. The Arizona Diamondbacks come to town. First pitch, 7:15. Pre-game show all here on KMOX.
Can you name a pitcher who pitched for both the St. Louis Cardinals and the Arizona Diamondbacks who could very well be listening to us at this very moment?
One of the Bennis brothers?
Yes, Sandy Bennis. Well done.
How about that?
Very well done. That's Michael Kelly with answering a trivia question. That's something you don't see every day. it is Total Information AM on the Voice of St. Louis. Well, we got more coming. Local author, I think I could call him a prolific author, Ed Wheatley is going to be with us later today right here on 104.1 FM KMLX.
Listening to Total Information AM in the morning, Hancock and Kelly, and we're going to stick around all the way till the Chris and Amy show. You can visit with us. And John, visiting with us in studio as a person I think is St. Louis's Mr. Baseball, it's Ed Wheatley.
Yeah, Ed Wheatley, author of many a book, has authored yet another. It's called From St. Louis to Cooperstown. It's all about St. Louis connections to the National Baseball Hall of Fame. Ed, welcome aboard. Tell us about this book.
Well, you know, it's we're the best baseball town in America, and we should be also the most intelligent baseball town in America. And, you know, we go to Busch Stadium, and we see the wall out in left field, which heralds, you know, some of the great heroes of the franchise. And there's like 13 people painted on the wall. But for the Cardinal franchise, there's 55 members. They've spent some time with the franchise. It might be a full career, like Musial's 22 years, or it might be two innings of one game. And you go through and you start really studying, and there were a lot of great names in that franchise. But besides the Cardinals, you know, there's the members of the St. Louis Browns
right
in there. Then there's the members of the St. Louis Giants and Stars of the Negro Leagues.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have men in the wings for the broadcasters and men of the journalists that are in there. So, I mean, we have all these great people, these great stories. And a lot of times there's many of the firsts that you never hear about. Like, remember in April 1974 when Hank Aaron was approaching Babe Ruth's career home run record. And this all the drama, you know, because Ruth had left the game in 34. And, you know, here we are 40 years later, focusing on Hank Aaron. But who was the guy who held that career home run record before Babe Ruth? He held it for over a quarter of a century, and he played in the St. Louis Cardinals franchise.
Who was it?
Roger Connor.
Roger Connor.
And you never hear about that.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we had
first baseman, right?
Yes, correct. You know, he didn't spend a lot of time, but he did play here. But, I mean, so those are the kind of little nuggets. And I don't remember ever hearing about that.
Cy Young pitched for the St. Louis Cardinals.
Yes, he did. He pitched in 1899, 1900. You know, he was a perfecto, and then he was a Cardinal.
Right.
When they changed the name. He had come over from the Cleveland Spiders when the Robesons had bought the team. They owned the Spiders, and then they bought the team. It was known as the Browns at that time.
Right, the Brown Stockings. And you mentioned the Robesons.
Mm-hmm.
The wife ended up owning the team, and was she the first?
No, the niece.
She was the niece. Was she the first female owner?
Helen Britton, yes, was the first female owner. And so it's, you know, it's all these little, I call them Harry Carey moments, because I go, oh, wow, holy cow.
Yeah.
You know, you see these moments we didn't know. I mean, you know, there's names like Comiskey, we always think of Chicago, right?
Right.
He was a key part of those early world championships, because there was a world championship between the American Association Brown Stockings, and they played the National League long before the World Series. And they had that run. The Brown Stockings had all the runs in the 1880s. But he was
Comiskey,
the mass manager, first baseman.
He was a first baseman, yeah.
Yeah, he was one of he's one of the first that would take play far away from the bag, and he kind of revolutionized. And then, you know Clark Griffith. You think of Griffith Stadium, that he pitched so long here, about 17 years in the majors. But he, you know, before he went in and he eventually owned the Senators. I mean, you can go to so many men, and there's so much history. The guy who has the third highest on-base percentage played here in St. Louis, but we don't know him as a manager. He managed played for 17 years, and he was a manager for over 30. John McGraw.
Yeah.
Third highest on-base percentage behind Williams and Ruth.
That's incredible. Ed Wheatley is our guest. He's written the book From St. Louis to Cooperstown. It's a great book. It profiles all of these 50-some members of the Baseball Hall of Fame who have passed through St. Louis. You've got the Brownies in there, too.
Yeah, so there's more than the 55, because you go into the 15 with the Browns, and then we get into others. And we got guys who grew up here, like Yogi, Dick Williams, Earl Weaver, that are in the Hall of Fame. And it's great. And many of the KMOX great broadcasters from the broadcasting wing are in there as well.
Yeah, because you think, I mean, obviously Jack Buck.
And Harry Carey,
Joe Garagiola.
Milo Hamilton.
Right.
And Tim McCarver.
Wow. Yeah, we lost Tim McCarver. It's a remarkable history. It's a remarkable franchise. Who is the most underappreciated Cardinal that's in the Hall of Fame, in your opinion?
Well, I think it falls into moments. I mean, a personal one is, you know, like I said, you talk about a guy like Roger Conner, who was the career homer. But I mean, I think Grover Cleveland Alexander and what he did to get the Cardinals.
He won the World Series
for us. The 26th World Series, coming out of – he'd already won two games, won the sixth game, and what he did in the seventh game to put down the Yankees.
That guy could do with a hangover. He kind of reminds me of Michael Kelly.
Yeah. he was named after a president.
Yes.
And a former president, a future president, starred as his biopic in Hollywood.
Ronald Reagan.
Yeah. And Doris Day, the winning team.
That's incredible.
I mean, all these little nuggets.
All right. I want to get your opinion. Kevin Wheeler and I were at the ball game the other day, and we were talking, and I think Ken Boyer absolutely belongs in the Hall of Fame. I wanted to get your thoughts.
Well, absolutely. I mean, you know, not only you look at some of the guys somewhat watered down, you know, compare the two-men at third base at his time, Ron Santo and Ken Boyer. Boyer has better numbers.
Yeah.
You know, nothing against Santo. He was a very, very good
player. There's very few third basemen in the Hall of Fame. It's probably the least represented position.
Right. And he, you know, he also had the gold gloves, too.
Yeah.
You know, when you compete against Santo. And, you know, he actually played a year in center field.
I did not
yes,
know
he
that.
Did.
Wow.
You've got to read the stories in the book. But, no, he went out there. So one of the hotshot third basemen, Eddie Casco, could come in and play third base. He went out there and had a stellar year out there. And, you know, he was the MVP in 64. He was the captain of the team. And he was really the man who helped drive that team to the World Series championship.
Well, he should be in the Hall of Fame, and everybody who is in the Hall of Fame that's passed through town here is in the book, From St. Louis to Cooperstown. It's author Ed Wheatley. It's his seventh book?
Seventh, yes.
He's written seven books, folks. That's what do you do in your free time?
Play baseball.
He plays a lot of baseball, too, in the senior circuit. He is Mr. Baseball in St. Louis, Ed Wheatley. Thanks so much. Total Information AM continues on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
I'm Michael Kelly. That's John Hancock. This is Total Information AM.
And that's what it is.
Hancock and Kelly's show. We will stick around with Amy and Chris.
We will.
Talk about the things of the day.
We're going to talk about stuff and things.
And you can see us Sunday mornings on Fox 2 St. Louis at 8:30 for Hancock and Kelly, the television show.
You know, and Fox 2 and KMOX, for whom I think we are the only two people that are employed by both entities.
Right.
Fox 2 and KMOX have teamed up with the American Red Cross, and we're taking donations online, KMOX.com/Red Cross, to donate. And I am blown away by how much this community has poured out into this. All of it stays local, this disaster recovery relief effort, housing people that are homeless now. And KMOX.com/Red Cross to donate. You can do that, and it's a partnership of KMOX and Fox 2.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And, you know, the business community as well has stepped up in this situation. And it's just, hey, look, this is what we do well. We come together, and whether it be root for our baseball team or pick up our mess, and God knows we've had a couple, we clean them up together, and it's what makes great to be a part of St. Louis.
Yeah, St. Louis is, you know, we bemoan some of the leadership that we've had to endure here in this town.
Mm-hmm.
But as a people, you're not going to find a better crop of people anywhere in the world than the kind of people who live in St. Louis. We are one dollar for dollar, person for person, one of the most charitable, philanthropic communities in the entire country.
No doubt about it. We've got these great higher learning institutions here, and this grinds my gears. I got to bring it up with you.
All right.
I don't know if you saw what President Trump's latest thing is. I guess the Justice Department has sent a note saying that they'll no longer certify any foreign students to go to Harvard. They won't be able to come in. Almost 27% of the students at Harvard are foreign students. It comes out to about 7,000 people that go to Harvard, and that just seems silly to me. Why we would want to stop the smartest people in the world from coming to the beacon of education in the world? Because, John, there's long term. I understand the short term. You know, enough with Harvard and the elitists, and why are we educating the world? But do we want the smartest people in the world going to the University of Dubai or to the University of Beijing? I want them going to Harvard. And the fact that 75% of the people that are there at the smartest institution on the planet are Americans, and it's in America, I take pride in that. What are we doing?
Yeah, I don't understand the rationale for it. You would think that you would want your elite institutions to thrive and to benefit the globe. And this is a decision, but, I mean, it's in keeping with Donald Trump. Nothing he's doing is necessarily a surprise. And I think attacking Harvard is something that is probably politically popular.
Yeah, and I guess people are, enticed by the short-term anger burst that comes, because, man, we're giving it to the elitist.
Right.
But there's long-term consequences in all of this stuff. And the fact that, Harvard is in the United States, and it's Harvard, and everybody from Josh Hawley to whoever wants to get there, or I don't know if Josh went there. Did he go to Harvard?
I think he went to Harvard and Yale.
And Yale. Yeah, but whoever wants to go there, I mean, the fact that we do have an elitist institution, it's not a bad thing. And we should have the smartest people in the world coming. Where does it stop? Do they now get to start targeting who's coming to WashU? They have a significant international population that comes in, helps keep that university afloat, and fill those classrooms up. St. Louis U too.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens. I do think the politics of it people. It is part and parcel of populism.
Yeah,
to take those kinds of actions.
Rarely do I get advice from you that makes me somewhat popular or unique. But the other day, I'm at the butcher.
Yeah,
and I walked in and I said to the guy, I said, "Are you carrying the tri-tip?" And the butcher pulled his little glasses down. He looked at me and he says, "Well, young man, I do have the tri-tip.
Yes.
I'll make it for you right now. I'll cut it up for you right now."
Yeah.
And he goes, "How do you know about the tri-tip?" And I said, "Well, I got a buddy of mine who's got a friend out in family out in California.
Yeah.
He learned about it." And he goes, "It really is the best, most affordable piece of meat that you can get." And so I just wanted to give you a little kudos
because
often.
What'd you do with it? Did you grill it?
I did. I grilled it, and it was delicious.
It is good.
Yeah, I'm not a red meat eater, and it's good red meat.
Slice it thin.
Yeah.
It serves great with a little pilaf or orzo.
Yep. Is this on the menu for, obviously the Greek Fest is, but will you spend some time on the barbecue grill?
This weekend, probably one night. This is date night for me tonight.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Isn't that great that you have to wait till your 60s to get back to going on dates with the person that you married?
Yeah.
Because, you got the kids there, you've got family.
Grandkids, people running in and out of the house all the time.
Now I know you got a little spring in your step there today, Hancock. You come bouncing in.
I'm
got
excited.
A date tonight,
date
a hot
night.
Date.
Yeah, I do have a hot date tonight, and I'm looking forward to it.
Well, you deserve it, and I know that I will be spending a little time in on the grill as well. I don't have a date tonight. I'll be checking out the Mother Nature, going for a walk.
Oh, you go? Yeah. By the way, congratulations. You look amazing.
I'm working at it, brother.
You
got to get out there and walk. You got to get out there and walk. You did it when you were walking the puppy.
Yeah.
Do you still walk the dog?
Only when necessary.
Uh-huh.
Georgianne walks the dog.
Is the dog helpful with the storms, or is it does it hide, or
no,
does it
he's
alert
fine.
You that stuff's on the way?
No, he's fine. There's a couple of people in the neighborhood that for whatever reason, he doesn't like their whatever scent they put off.
Right.
And he loses himself at the window, running back and forth and back and forth and back and forth and barking his head off.
Well, but you're fortunate enough that the thunder and the lightning doesn't bother him. You don't have to put one of these steel coats on him. Have you seen these people who have to put coats on their dogs so that they don't freak out from the storms?
Yeah, that we do not have to do, but we do have to close the drapes in the morning if Georgianne's still sleeping, because he'll wake everybody up from miles around.
Well, what do you say we cut out of here for a couple of minutes, play some spots, listen to the news, come back and mess around with our friends Amy and Chris?
We'll do that, and we're going to play a little snooker this afternoon as well.
We'll see.
Hopefully that will be trending in the current fashion. That's Michael Kelly. I'm John Hancock. Thanks to Frank Ladd. It's been a pleasure to be with you right here on KMOX.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator and my friend Craig Thomas.
Follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.